Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
I love that your zest for exploring an adventure.
Yeah.
Something that classic I don't Jewish. Have in my family.
Classic Jew. You know, I like to get off the grid into the mountains. Classic Jewish style.
Really?
Not really. No.
I was going to say, is there a part of you're a different kind of Jew then? I'm glad that Moshe Kasher is doing my podcast today because I can phone it in.
Isn't that the name of this podcast? Phoning it
That's
in with
such
Leslie
a good
Arfin?
Name for a podcast.
For a podcast no one listens to.
Yeah. Or like, it's
well,
about
it just
phone
doesn't
calls.
Feel like they do it that. Oh, that's right. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
No, it's because we're just cozy friends and not stranger friends, which gives me a lot of anxiety when I do the podcast, and which takes up a lot of energy.
To talk to a stranger.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm so tired today.
Yeah.
Which is something that I wanted to talk to you about because one of your
my hobbies is sleeping.
No.
Is getting enough sleep. That's my main hobby.
Well, I mean, it might be because, and we are going to talk about vapes, but like, I know one of your biggest hobbies is surfing, which to me, the craziest thing is that you wake up so early.
Well, it's definitely the worst part of surfing is this thing where they're like chasing the, they call them, what do they call them? They call them
chasing the waves.
No, yep, that's right. They call it chasing the waves. They call it phoning it in, chasing the waves with Leslie Arfin. No, it's dawn sessions. That's what they're called.
Oh.
Or dawn patrol. That's what it's called.
Dawn patrol.
Dawn patrol.
Judy,
and there's
enough.
Like a,
we're going to get the dog down. She's,
for the listener at home, there's a 700 pound poodle that's assaulting me.
Yeah. All right, Judy. Come on. Take it to
now,
the
do you do a lot of editing or does this all go straight in the podcast?
We edit.
Oh, okay.
We edit, but some of that stuff is pure gold.
Yeah, no, that was Judy Gold. Famous comedian Judy Gold. Do you know Judy Gold?
Not personally.
Do you know she
yeah,
is
yeah.
though?
Yeah. Yeah. Is classic. She on Cameo?
That's a great question.
Let's find out.
Let's find out if Judy Gold is
okay,
on Cameo.
So question for our audience. If I were to be on Cameo, would you guys click on me? Because I am not a famous person, but I do love the idea of going on Cameo. So write in the comments. I read them
and how
once
much
a year.
Should Leslie
oh, yeah.
charge?
I said like $5.
Hold on a second.
Amanda said 20. I don't know. It's just for fun.
It's for money. It's not for fun. It's literally for money.
I wouldn't do it for money.
Let's take a listen.
Or if I did, $5 would be so cheap. Everyone would rack it up, rack it up.
Hold on, hold on. I want to play you something.
Okay. Sorry.
Here we go.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Judy Gold, and I'm on Cameo. And I'll tell anyone anything you want me to. Because I have a big, big mouth.
Well, there you go. That could be you, Leslie.
A girl can dream.
Sorry, I'm trying to turn this off. All right.
A girl can dream, baby.
All right.
So surfing.
Surfing.
When did you get into it?
I started surfing. You know, I went to UC Santa Barbara, and now that I do surf, I feel like I wasted the best prime years of my young life. I was a young, supple youth, mm-hmm. and I could have been surfing that whole time, but I didn't. I didn't once. I was too cool. I was actually like
what?
One of the sole hipsters at UC Santa Barbara. It was all like, you know, beefy blondes or hipsters that were trying so hard to not be a beefy blonde. They were actually worse than the beefy blondes. Right. And then there was me, an actual cool person, right. all by myself, no friends, no girls, no fun. But then I went to Hawaii like probably 5 or 7 years ago, and I got really taken with Hawaiian and Polynesian culture, history. Mm-hmm. I started reading, you know who James Michener is?
No.
Fascinating guy. He was like kind of the biggest author in the world when he was alive. He was like super famous, kind of Stephen King style famous.
Oh.
But he did all these historical novels where he would like these tomes of like, he wrote South Pacific.
Oh, cool.
He wrote the book that became the musical South Pacific, and he wrote Texas, and he wrote Mexico. And
oh,
he
that's
wrote
cool. Which these, is your favorite one of his?
Well, Hawaii is the only one that I've read. I tried South Pacific and couldn't get into it. But Hawaii is this like 1,000-page epic fiction history, but it's based really strongly on reality.
History that sounds of Hawaii. Awesome.
It's great. And Hawaiian history is like super. We could talk about that for an hour if you're interested. But I also got really fascinated with surfing and surf and Hawaiian Polynesian culture. And when I came home, I started taking lessons.
So this book, because that happens to me, I'll read a book and I'll get so into it that I'll want to do, like the book will inspire me to do something weirder.
Like what? Like I read The Road by Cormac McCarthy and it inspired me to take my son through a post-apocalyptic hellscape, but there was none around.
And then you didn't have a son.
And I didn't have a son, but it inspired me to encourage my daughter to become trans against her will so that she could be my son. And then hopefully the world would end so that we could go for a really long walk together scavenging cans.
No, but like I've read books and I've wanted to like get into stuff that either their character's into or like try. Like I remember this is a bad example, but like there's this young adult book I read and they were this one girl like loved sardines. And sure. So I like really, really, really wanted to try sardines.
And
I was
bad?
Like, I don't eat them, but they're, but it was like, so it sounded like such a, it sounded so good in the book. And I like that. So you read this book and you loved it and it made you really into Hawaiian history and culture. And
but the book's not about surfing. That's what's right. It mentions it. I mean, surfing's an interesting sport in that, you know, they call it the surf of the sport of kings. Because what happened was when James Cook arrived.
That's really conceited, by the way.
Well, it's not, though. If you'll hear them out. Hear okay, the sport
okay,
out.
Okay.
When James Cook arrived in Hawaii, he was taken with the fact that he, first of all, he'd never seen anything like it. It's people riding waves on these like long boards. But the king was doing it too. The king Kamehameha was actually out in the water paddling around surfing.
Cool.
So literally, it was a sport of kings. And then people started moving to Hawaii. You know, this. I mean, that I'm more taken with the history. I mean, the history's pretty crazy.
That's really cool, though, that you're really into the history. So you're more into the history of surfing than the actual sport.
No. I'm just saying in terms of podcasting, like it's difficult for me to describe surfing in a way that feels compelling because truly I am bad at it. I'm like, I always describe myself as the opposite of whatever the opposite of talented is. That's what I am
for
surfing.
But that's what I love about hobbies is that you do it anyway. You do it in spite of being bad at it. You love it in spite of not being the best or not even being good. Like, that's so interesting and cool to me.
Well, when I was a kid, everything, I had like a rule. You know, there's a moment in The Simpsons where Bart Simpson tried something and he failed and he was like having the like Bob Saget.
You tried your best, you failed miserably. The lesson is never try again.
It's something like that. He goes, son.
Yeah.
If you try something and you're not good at it, never try it again. Give up immediately. And that was like my motto throughout my entire childhood. It's like, I tried trumpet, I tried drumming, I tried whittling, Yeah, my brother, dude, I also just like pretended I was my brother.
Me and my sister call it whittling.
Whittling. We would do, my brother was
I tried
such a
whittling. I got to get somebody on this podcast.
Who's a whittler?
I love
Nick Offerman's kind of a whittler, isn't he? Or a
he
woodman.
Is so many things. Yeah.
My brother used to do all these. My brother was like an old man always. He studied Yiddish in the summer. He would go to the YIVO Yiddish Institute. Amazing. I drew a line there. But back in Oakland, he joined a whittling class. And it was, and I was like, I'll do it too, because I wanted to be like my brother, but not because I wanted to whittle. And literally, it was me and my brother and like five dozen 85-year-olds. And they were delighted and confused that we were in the class. They were like, why are these young boys here?
And you weren't good at it.
I was terrible at whittling. Choir, I tried choir.
Do you have a good voice?
I quit.
Sing us a tune.
I'm a whittling man.
Wow.
Right?
A Star Is Born much?
Actually, I have a good voice when I'm in bass. I can do bass. So I'm more like this. They call me a whittling man, and I whittle because I can. I got my whittling knife in my hand. I'm a whittling man. Kind of a thing.
My jaw is on the carpet.
It literally is. You can't see it, but
it's crazy. That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. You know, me and Natasha, speaking of hobbies, we once had a plan to put out a album of country duets.
Uh-huh.
But the you know how like the concept was, the twist was, there was no twist. It was just a country album, and we never explained it. It's like, why are these two comedians doing this?
That's great. You don't have to explain it. You should do that. Maybe you know what the twist is? There was no twist. Like, you don't even have to say that. It's still funny to me.
And it was just us very sincerely singing country
duets. I like
duets.
It.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you have a good voice?
No. I have a very emotive voice. Like, I can emote. I can perform. If I practice, if I'm doing a lot of karaoke,
you'll go like, you ought to know. Kind
songs
of a thing.
Played, Jack.
Oh, so your skill is using slang from 71.
No, let me see. Because I've been singing a lot in the car. Into the unknown. Into the unknown.
I see what you're saying. You do a lot of.
Into the unknown. It's
okay.
Really good.
And I would, and then I would come in at the end. I'd go, into the unknown.
Oh my God, the richness. It's like a caramel covered in peanut butter. Oh, is it caramel or caramel?
It's both.
Who even knows?
I know. Who could answer such a question?
I know. It is really the unanswerable question.
So I surf.
Okay, so you're not good at it, which, great. I like it even more that you do it.
It's the first thing I've done in my life that I tried and immediately was met with the reality of being bad at, that I continued to try with passion. And I've continued to do it ever since. And I've gotten to the point where, yes, I'm bad, and I probably will always be bad, but I'm now functionally bad. I'm like one of those stand-up comedians who, you know, those stand-up comedians who, like, you see them, you're like, oh my God, this guy will never be good at this. But you're kind of like, also, he knows what he's doing. Like, uh-huh. He has a joke that he's got an act.
Right.
I'm like that.
I just don't really believe in that.
In what?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I do. But I guess in like the fact that you'll never be good. I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
What I'm saying is I'm functional at it now.
I can stand.
I can ride waves. I've gone from being really horribly terrible to like, oh, that man is an average bad surfer.
Okay, so you're not going to be like, you're not going to be like a professional surfer, fine, but like you can get up and you can ride a wave. To me, that says you're good.
Thank you. That's nice. And I disagree. But it is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It's so bad. Sometimes when I'm surfing, I think about how funny I am.
If your motto was you tried it, you tried your best, you failed miserably, lesson is never try again, what made you change that
for surfing?
If surfing was the first thing, like,
I'll tell you what is interesting about it for me is it's a mystery. I don't know why I do it. I mean I know what's pleasant about it, and I can articulate that very clearly. What's amazing about surfing is that it's this activity that combines, I guess maybe mountain biking is kind of like this too, or hiking, but it's an activity that combines a bunch of different elements, some physical, some spiritual, some temporal. Like, It is exercise. Mm-hmm. It is communing with nature. It is meditation. It is travel. It is hanging out with your friends. It's all of those things in one activity.
Yeah.
And that's very powerful to me. That.
Yeah. So I would go as far as to say is like you tried other things, but you just didn't like them. Like Whitland, all right, it wasn't your thing. Like I can see how that's not really, you tried it.
I am bad at art as well.
Do you like making it?
No.
So then because it's not I'm bad for at you.
But you're like talented.
I'm not though. Like that's you, me saying that about you with surfing is you saying that about me with painting. Like, thank you. That's nice.
You're welcome.
I'm fine with whatever level I'm at because it's, I like doing it. I don't really care what it ends up looking like. I like the process of doing it.
What I'm saying is if you had dedicated your life to painting and you had gone to art school and you had like, you spent 40 hours a week painting like all artists do. They wake up at 8 a.m. and then they paint until 5 p.m. and they clock out of their canvas. If you had done the classic artist way, you would be very good at it because you have artistic talent. Whether or not you've developed that talent is immaterial. You look at one of your paintings, you clearly say, oh, this person has an artistic bone, you know? Yeah. You look at my surfing, you say this boy does not have the bone.
Okay, maybe, but like maybe I do have that bone.
I've seen
but
the
I
bone.
Don't know if I could be a professional painter, meaning like I don't know if I would ever make money from it.
No, but there's such a huge difference between professional surfer and good at surfing. Like right. those are vastly different.
I see
categories.
What you mean. Right, yeah.
I'm not. No one was ever thinking I'd be a professor. First of all, you have to start surfing. I started surfing at probably the worst time possible, worst age possible. It was like
how
right
old?
When I, 35 probably, uh-huh. 34, 35, right when you start grappling with your mortality. That's not the time to get into an extreme sport. right when you really start pondering that death could come to you is not when you do death. Like, it's dangerous, straight up.
Yeah, it seems really,
Didn't you have a friend who, do you not want to talk about that?
No, it's fine. I mean, I do have a. I did have a friend who died
in a insane,
in a horrible surfing
freak
accident.
Surfing
yeah, freak
accident.
Surfing accident. And she was really good. And it just was like, I mean, I don't want to go into the details, but if people really want to know, like, you can email me. It just would be weird.
Or email me, and I'll make something up. No, but that's here's what I am. This is gratified for. Is your friend who is really good, probably when you're really good, you start pushing towards more death-defying stuff. Mm-hmm. The level I'm at, I'm in a very safe zone. I mean, hey, freak shit could happen at any time, but that could happen in your car. You know, I mean, Judy, your poodle could have attacked me, ripped out my jugular. I could have bled out on your couch. You
she
never
doesn't
know.
Do that.
But she could have.
She can't.
She might. And what if a fungal virus, like with a kind of rabid virus, had floated in your window and she sniffed it, and in that moment, her brain chemistry switched. There's always a possibility. But
I mean, okay.
But I am at a level where I won't hurt. I don't think I could hurt myself.
I'm just saying you might get better at surfing in spite of yourself.
I have gotten better at surfing.
See?
Surfing in spite of myself.
And you might continue to, but only because you continue to do it.
But it does feel like a spiritual journey in a way. The mystery is kind of intriguing to me. When I ask myself, like, why is this the thing that I latched onto? Mm-hmm. There's something really cool about that question and the unanswerability of it. Like, there's something I like about that.
There's something about nature that you like, because I know that you're also really into camping.
I am really, another hobby that I have that I'm passionate about is camping, and specifically overland RV camping.
Yeah, you love your RV.
I love my RV, and it's a specific kind of RV. It's called an overland RV, and so it's not exactly like it's not what you think. It's not one of these big houses on wheel bus kind of like you pull over at a resort, and
right.
It's the kind of thing that can get into the backcountry and is totally self-sufficient and off-grid. It's got solar and it's got a composting toilet and it's got all the bells and whistles to keep you out in nature for a long time if you want it.
That is so cool. And you are also really into like tricking it out in your way. Like you have designs for your RV. Like Moshe used to get up in the middle of the writer's room. He'd be in the middle of pitching something and then see an alert on his phone that was on silent and be like, hold on, I got to take this call. And would go out and we'd think like, Is it Natasha? Is something wrong? Is it an emergency? Is it his agent? Your wife or your agent? No, it was somebody calling about an RV or an RV part.
That does make me sound like
it's cute.
It is cute. I also am wondering about my own work ethic right now, even as you say it. But no.
No, I mean, you would also come back in and like pick right back up to give you credit for it. Like,
and I would start.
It was
pitching.
Also towards the end.
I would start pitching about RVs. I'd be like, "What if? What if the girls buy an Overland RV and spend a month in the Rockies?"
I mean, it does say a lot about like how much respect you had for me.
Well, that's obvious and point blank. Yeah, that was. I'm not into RVing. That was all a ploy. There was no RV. There was no call. That was just an alpha move for me. I would go outside. Move. I would meditate for 5 minutes. I would come back in and be like, where was I? And I'd make deep and confrontational eye contact with you. I remember that.
Yeah. But
nature, I do feel like, while it lasts, nature is the antidote for the poison of our day.
Wow.
The
quotable casher.
I really believe that. Like, when I'm out, like this summer, Natasha and I, right after the room wrapped, actually, right after we were done, Natasha and I drove from LA to Denver and back. And it was the most amazing trip. It was as good a trip as any trip to Europe. It was as good a trip as any trip to Asia or the Middle East I've ever had. I'm lying. I've never been to Asia. But anyway, I don't know why I said that. In the moment, I was like, why am I saying that? I've not been to Asia. I've been to the Asian side of Istanbul.
Okay. But it was an amazing trip. You and your daughter and Natasha. And does Natasha feel the same?
I think so. You have to ask her. I mean, listen. Nature and camping has been a negotiation with Natasha, but we found our peaceful Venn diagram, our Zen diagram, if you will, in where our interests overlap is mm-hmm. in this is a hobby. This is what we should talk about. Is we're spring people. We're hot spring people, uh-huh. And like we could do it every day. And we have a map of hot springs around the country of where they are and ones we want to visit, ones we haven't visited. And Colorado is filled with hot spring right. resorts. And so we would basically drive. Colorado, by the way, if you ever have a chance.
I've been there.
It's so unbelievably gorgeous. Yeah. It's beyond. And we drove into Colorado right as the aspens were turning. Uh-huh. The aspens are this kind of tree, you know, with the paper bark, you know, the white tree.
Oh, yeah. I thought those were birch.
Also birch.
Oh, okay.
They look like the same.
But, oh, okay.
But the aspens, they turn their, I think that's right. I could be wrong.
Whatever.
I'm not an arborist. I'm not an arborist, but I celebrate Arbor Day. It's my most, and Tish B'Av. Those are the, or not Tish B'Av, Tu B'Shvat. That's right. Tu B'Shvat is the Jewish Arbor Day. Do you know about that?
No.
What's coming up?
It is?
It's this Sunday.
What should we do?
How about I invite you to a tree planting ceremony this very Sunday?
Where?
I don't want to tell your listeners where we're going to be this Sunday. They'll come abduct us.
Okay.
No, your listeners are probably sweet, huh?
Yeah, they're really nice.
I bet they are. Okay, guys. It's Elysian Park. But anyway.
Wow.
The aspens were turning and they turned golden, like the leaves all turned gold. So it's like snowing golden leaves. Mm. And like, by the way, aspens are interesting because they are one organism. So if you go to a forest of aspens, they are all the same organism.
What does that mean?
That means that all of the trees are a sprout of one mega plant.
Wait a minute.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Like a school of fish?
More like a a Medusa. Like it's like
All one tree.
They're all one organism. They're the different trees are the same root system, and they're like, so when you see aspens, they like they're all the same life.
So it's all the same tree.
I don't think you could say they're all the same tree, but they're all the same they're all the same plant.
God, Moshe has so many fun factoids.
I got a lot.
That is really cool. And so you guys found this middle ground.
Oh, sorry, that's Judy Gold again. I was going to show you a picture of the aspens.
You and Natasha love hot springs.
So hot springs. So we found this book that was like best hot springs of the Colorado region. And we literally would drive from hot spring. I mean, here's me at one in Utah.
Oh my God.
Big old sulfur mountain.
This is amazing. I mean, it looks like you're on another planet. It's so beautiful. Is it crowded when you go?
It all depends on the ones that you go to. So there's different kinds of hot springs. You know, there's a whole
It's a scene.
It's a scene. And I wouldn't say it's the coolest scene in the world, but there are a lot of naked old men. So that's cool.
Yeah. Do you guys get naked?
I definitely get naked because I grew up as a straight up hippie. That's me in the Aspens. You see?
Oh, you're wearing the t-shirt I made you.
Exactly.
This is so beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks like Moshe is standing. I mean,
in the mouth of God.
Moshe is standing in a forest of gold and wearing a tie-dye t-shirt that I made him. And he says, my personal brand is God.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, we would go from hot spring to hot spring in Steamboat Springs. Not Steamboat Springs. Glenwood Springs. There's a place, the biggest hot spring in the world. It's 2 football fields long.
Holy
it's gigantic.
Fuck.
And then in Steamboat Springs, there was a hot spring that was inside like the cradle of 2 mountains. So you were like surrounded on both sides by mountains.
Whoa.
And it was just like, I mean, anyway,
your zest for exploring an adventure.
Yeah.
Something that have in my family.
Classic Jew. You know, I like to get off the grid into the mountains. Classic Jewish style.
Really?
Not really.
No. I was going to say, is there a part of... You're a different kind of Jew then. But like
surfing and
Natasha doesn't get naked.
I mean, I don't want to speak for her.
I got naked at Esalen. Those hot springs were fierce.
Esalen is dope. Yeah. That is quite a place, but one of the most annoying places on earth.
Yeah.
Like once you're in,
just don't talk to anybody.
No, once you're in, it's like the most gorgeous hobbit ass shit you've ever seen in your life. Getting in or interacting with anyone that works there is one of the most annoying experiences you'll ever have. They're just like, they don't want you there. They don't care if you're coming. It's not welcoming. But
yeah, it is very like, oh, you're here. That's cool. It's like, where should I park? What am I supposed to do? And they're just like, there's someone over there you can ask. Like they're just very vague and.
Well, it's because they know they got something good. But the thing about overland camping is, like, in that way, is that there's little places that are almost as gorgeous as Esalen hiding everywhere in this country. And if you can get into the backcountry a little bit and you can kind of, like, futz around, you can find these places that are, like, all yours and just gorgeous.
God, I wish I could do that.
I mean, you could, but it's not for everybody.
Paul's not into that. It would be hard to do it.
Paul's more Jewish than you, and he's not even Jewish.
Right. And I could maybe get him to do it if I was the person doing all the planning. That's not one of my favorite hobbies, however.
Yeah, right. I mean, the thing that's really cool about having an RV as opposed to like packing up a tent and all is that everything is kind of sitting there waiting for an adventure.
Right. And, but you have the RV and you've tricked it out yourself to make sure everything is like boom, boom, boom. Ready, steady, go.
And it's connected to surfing too. I pack up surfboards into that thing, and I'll have a little apartment right by the beach. It's like it's the best. There's something about it, and I don't know if this is overly binary about gender, but there's something about that van life, RV life, surfing, camping that is, I feel like, connected to the male desire to have a escape route to freedom at any point.
Oh my God, you're like obsessed with gender norms.
Yeah, I think that they're real. I think that gender is a binary. You're either a man or a woman, and that's my primary philosophy in life. That's what I care about more
you're
than
like
anything.
Freedom. Men are more interested in RVing and surfing because of the freedom we need to get away from the women that are trying to lock us down.
Many women are very into camping, and what I'm saying is that there's something about the I'm talking almost primate level. You just another picked one. Bill's caca. I'm down.
Yeah, because I might be this whole thing like primate, like men are the ones who chop wood and carry water, and the women stay and breastfeed the babies.
Chopped wood.
Or like cavemen or whatever. Right. It's like, no, women also chopped wood and carried water with babies on their back.
Backwards and in heels?
We could do it all, even back then. Baking a cake at the same time.
What does a caveman heel look like for a caveman lady? It's like a burned stub from the fire.
It's like a twig.
Stiletto!
Like different, you can get like a block of wood, and that's like, this is getting stupid.
Well, I'm curious, do you think that there is nothing to like... I want to be very careful with the question I'm asking. No,
you say what's on your mind. No,
do you think that there's nothing to like that there are certain things that are kind of like from the primordial nature of woman and primordial nature of man, or is it all totally cultural and bullshit?
I really think that it's like mostly cultural, and it's been so many years that it has become like an inherited trait.
Right.
Of like,
I believe that.
Right. So it's both kind of, and it's probably also even, neither.
Yeah. No, I think I even agree with you that like, it doesn't even matter if it's like, it's not scientific or DNA, but even if it is cultural, I mean, what does it matter? If there's did you watch Into the Wild?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you
I also
think?
Read the book.
What did you think?
The book about the kid who goes to live in the woods and whatever. I really love the book, I think. The
book's pretty great.
Yeah.
My feeling.
I like the book a lot. I mean, I was like, this isn't coming as a shock to me that this kid can't survive in the wilderness, like the fucking Unabomber.
Again, maybe this is like my very stupid, very narrow-minded like gender role idea, but I feel like most women who watch that movie... we're like, that guy's a fucking idiot. And most men who watch that movie are like, that guy's a fucking idiot, but also I want to be him a little bit.
Oh, I totally, there's like a part of me that definitely relates to like, that's badass, that's cool. I love the idea
of
being able to cut all ties, go and like survive, be a survivalist. Yeah, like I can get into, that's like one of those things that I was saying. Books that inspire you to do stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like the idea of figuring out how to survive off twigs and berries, or like making my own little shelter and having a commune of one in like a very small, abstract way. Yeah.
Actually, that's funny you say that because there's no part of me that's like, I know that that's an instinct that some people have. Like, have you seen that show Naked and Afraid or whatever?
Yeah.
Or is that the one where they're...
Is that like the reality show where they're naked and trying to...
It's a different one. No. It's not Naked and Afraid.
Survived.
It's a survivalist show where they drop a person on like an island.
That's
with nothing.
Naked and Afraid.
But this one was... That's where they put two people together and they camp together and then see if they'll fuck, basically, right?
Oh, like, no. I thought it was like a survival... I don't know.
It is. It's both. But I'm not a survivalist by any stretch of the imagination. There's no part of me that thinks it's attractive to like have a shivering meal of a like trout that I pawed out of a river and like with some sage that I don't want.
No, but
that.
Isn't there something cool about like getting good at that?
Yes, there is something attractive about being such a cool person.
Like, you know how in Game of Thrones, how sometimes they would, when they were traveling, they would just have to like pull over and, you know, burn rabbit and eat with wooden spoons that they carry in their pocket. Like, I really like, sometimes I like eating out of the pot, like beans out of a pot with a wooden spoon.
That's pretty extreme.
Like, me and my friend Jesse used to call it Yukon Cornelius style.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm, I don't, I wouldn't call myself a survivalist at all, because I like hedonism. I like pleasure. My, right. my really what I like more than anything is pleasure. And I feel like, I mean, almost fun and pleasure are almost like the two biggest ethics in my life that don't have to do with like other people. Is like, I think like life is short. You should
enjoy yourself.
That's
why you love Burning Man.
That is why I
love
Burning
Man. It's the elements of all of this, including art.
Yes, which is hedonism.
But you're also an artist. I mean, you might...
I'm not a visual artist, but no, definitely, but yeah.
You're an artist. Are we running out of time?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay.
I'm an artist of the spoken word.
Do you want to hear a poem of the spoken word and the written word.
Do you want to hear a poem that I wrote?
Obviously.
Okay. Flames, fire, dust settles where we all come to test our metal. Metallurgy, welding too. Burning Man is fun for me and you. Arby's, tires, berries too.
Berries.
Yukon Cornelius taking a poo in a river or in a ditch.
You can go on for the end of
till the end of the podcast, which is the end of time.
Yeah,
that'd be crazy if at the end of this podcast time ended.
Can I just say one thing about your poem?
Yeah,
you got
is it
the
a
goods.
Critique? What?
You got the goods.
Oh wow, amazing! That's good. So okay, great.
It's this got is, flow.
yeah, you're right. I think the Burning Man is the culmination of all of my. My disparate interests over the years. Like, it's funny. I like dancing. I like camping.
Yeah.
I like wildness.
Nature.
I like nature. I like hedonism.
So at Burning Man, is it hedonism?
Definitely. Like, definitely. It's
when
hedonism.
I think of hedonism, I think of like the Greeks like laying around in togas being fed grapes.
Right. So fair enough. So it's like, it's austere.
The Romans.
It's like austere hedonism. It's a weird kind of hedonism because it's also extreme at the same time. It's like it's not comfortable. It's not the kind of hedonism that is connected to pure comfort. It's like a hedonism that you have to work for, and maybe that's the tie-in to surfing.
Right.
Because surfing also has this kind of ultimate pleasure principle where it's like, I got to get up at 5 in the morning, and yeah, I'm out in the freezing cold water at 5 in the morning, but then all of a sudden, with all of that effort, the sun pops up over the horizon and there's a sunrise happening and I see literally dolphins 30 feet away from me, you know, breaching and dancing with the waves, and I'm riding the waves and I'm talking to a friend, and there's something so purely pleasurable about that it's like it's work, but it's also for its own sake. It's purely for pleasure.
That is really what makes you love something. You have to work in order to like you like the process of working for the goal.
Yeah, because if you think about it, what is actual like base hedonism is it's here already. It's you lay in bed,
right.
You order Uber Eats and you watch Netflix. Right.
Yeah,
you watch 90 Day Fiancé and your comfortable little bed is there and you stuff your face with donuts and you watch like mind candy. But we all know what happens when you do that long enough. You feel like a fucking piece of shit and you want to die, right? Like eventually you're like, this is no life. The kind of hedonism where you work hard for it, you get into the forest, you get into a hot spring that you drove 20 hours to get to and you had to hike into, or you're out on the ocean. Like at the end of that, you feel alive. You
totally.
Feel like, I want to live more. I feel more alive than I ever have.
That is really cool. And I really admire that. Can I ask you a question? It's going to seem really random.
Unfortunately not. Yes.
When you were growing up, were you a fat kid?
Yes.
You were?
I was not just a fat
pleasantly
kid.
Plump. I'm going to say pleasantly plump.
It was not pleasant. It was definitely unpleasant. Listen, I'm all for fat acceptance, but middle school is the time where you want to avoid being overweight if possible.
And you were in middle school?
In middle school, I was fat. My legal first name is Mark. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My friends, I'm doing heavy quotation marks, although air quotes never work on podcasts, called me Blark. Like blimp mark, and they call me pork chop, which as a Jew was doubly offensive.
Yeah,
and I was a chubby fat, and my dad used to call me fat. I hated it.
My
review of middle school overweightness. Hated it.
So, and now, like, I don't know if you guys have seen Moshe lately, but he is
very skinny,
very slim. He's very slim, but you had to work for that. Like, Or did it just, was it puberty? It went away in puberty.
It went away in puberty. I was on psychiatric medication in puberty. There was a lot of things that happened at once. I was on psychiatric medication. So like I stopped eating as much. And then I grew up. And then, but you know what's crazy about being, were you fat when you were in middle school?
No.
No. The thing about being fat in middle school is once you're fat in middle school, you're fat for the rest of your life.
Right.
In your mind. Yeah. And I don't want to take away from the struggle of actual fat people that like, deal with weight issues their entire life.
I understand. Because
that's a different level of difficulty.
There's a lot of other things I was in middle school that I am for the rest of my life.
But I just mean, like, if you are a fat person and you actually deal with that your whole life, that's another challenge.
Yeah.
But there's a psychological widget in your mind when you're a fat kid in middle school where you can't, you're always, for the rest of your life, looking at your body going, like, ugh, is it happening again? Is it coming back? You know? But yes. I grew out of it, and I'm glad that I grew out of it, although...
But you also do boxing.
I do that. I do work hard at that, yeah.
Ugh.
I do boxing.
You do so much active shit. And also, like, you and Natasha are like, yeah, we're walking the res. Like, and then I'm doing boxing after we walk the res. I'm like, it's weird that you guys aren't sitting more.
Well, here's the thing about my body.
Yeah.
It's perfect. No, the thing about the body at our age, Leslie, is at about, and a little younger than us, at about 35, you're supposed to start, I think, you're supposed to start thinking about your body as what you're doing now is building a foundation for what your body's going to be like when you're 80, right? Like this guy, speaking of surfing, the greatest surfer maybe of all time, Kelly Slater, you know who that is, right? He's a famous guy. He had a quote I think about a lot. He's like, the waves, what I'm doing with my body now is not for the waves I want to catch now. It's for the waves I hope to catch with my grandkids, you know? And I think about that a lot. Like the reason that I take my body and my health very seriously now, it's not because I want to be slender and Hollywood hot because I don't have that kind of body. I'm never going to be like a Kumail type, if you will, you know, like the reason I work and exercise now is because I want to be limber and healthy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
No, I want to be limber and healthy when I'm an old person. I remember when my grandma told me I can't run once I was like a kid. And I was like, run, grandma. And she's like, I can't run anymore. And I was like, boom goes the dynamite of my mind. I like couldn't believe it. I was like, you can't run? You cannot run? So if a fucking mugger came along and was like, give me all your money, you would just walk slowly away and hope that they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to be healthy, not healthy, because no one's that healthy.
No,
at 80.
You guys are mad healthy.
I want to be able to run.
Ay.
What do you do? Nothing?
I clean my house.
Okay. You push Judy away with force sometimes?
Dude, I am not good at exercising. Like I used to do, I was doing dance like 3 or 4 days a week, but not since BB, and she's almost 2.5.
You got to do it, dude. Exercise is the opposite of an addiction in that addiction, you ever think about this? I'm sure you have.
Some people have crazy addiction to exercise.
But they, you're right, they do. But you know how drugs and
sex. You're saying it's endorphins and it's giving you natural endorphins?
No, what I'm saying is like drugs, sex, gambling, like the kinds of things people get addicted to, overeating.
Yeah.
These are things that like you have to be careful with because they're so seductive. They'll grab you and have you. But yeah. Right? Exercise is the opposite. Like you have to work so fucking hard to get into a groove where you need to exercise. There's so much inertia that it's so much easier to not exercise than it is to exercise that you have to double, triple, quadruple your efforts to get into a point where you're like where you were with dance. How much work did it take for you to get to a place where you
so much work? And I that's another thing. Like I will never be good at dance. Like I can dance at a wedding fine, but like I'll never be not even like fine necessarily. Like it's very, very hard. I wasn't good at it, but I really love doing it. And I don't even think it's great exercise.
Dancing?
Amanda, can you say like ballet? Ballet isn't.
Well, ballet's flexibility.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it is like those tiny little muscles. And it's a lot of like stretching, which is really good.
It is. Stretching.
Were you a ballerina?
Like, yeah, she was. Can you not tell? She's a perfect angel specimen.
Oh, wow. Yes. Now that I look more closely, I realize you're a more special angel.
Amanda is literally like, I hope that my daughter grows up to be Amanda.
I hooked up with a ballerina once and it was wild.
Why? Because she was just, like, reaching her legs over her.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, let me ask you something. Is flexibility...
That's my hobby, is sleeping with ballerinas. Sorry.
Is flexibility and stretching good for when you're an old person?
Absolutely.
So you can know, I just about, do that?
I think about this all the time, but you got to do it. Think about this all the time. Paul McCartney, you know who that is? he's a songwriter, Paul McCartney.
Oh, I thought he was like a comedian.
No, he's funny though. Anyway, he gets a Thai massage every single day. And when you see him in concert, you're like, yep, that makes sense. Like, if you had a Thai massage every day of your life, you would grow old with great flexibility. And I'm not the most flexible person. And by the way, it sounds like I'm a health nut. I'm not. I just want to be healthy and live long and live long pleasurably. Because again, right. I care about pleasure. I heard this thing recently. This will blow your mind. The reason that exercise is so important for longevity, specifically around heart issues, heart failure, mm-hmm. is that when you're making your heart pound, you're working your heart out and, you know, like, mm-hmm. and you have a pounding sweat, you will figure out that you have heart issues much, much years quicker. Mm. Because what happens is if you work out, you're making your heart work really hard. You go, oh, there's something up. You go to the doctor. But if you never work out and you become big and slovenly, your heart has to get all the way, because you're always sitting around, you're never making it work hard. Your heart issues have to get so bad that you can feel that you have a heart issue when your heart is at rest. So it's like, does that make sense?
I like stopped listening halfway through.
I felt I'm sorry, you stop listening. Moshe.
It's because I just started thinking about exercise and how I'm not doing it and how I don't like doing it. And then I started feeling sad. I got a little ADHD on you.
No, that's what all podcast hosts should have.
Exercise is hard.
It's hard.
And it's all, but see, you like working hard for things and then achieving the golden circle of life. I like working easy for things.
And having them come your way.
Yeah.
That's not true though, Leslie. You work hard on your writing.
I feel like I'm very, very hard on myself. Probably that is why I don't do dance anymore, because I feel like I don't work hard enough on writing. Like, I feel like I don't work hard enough at anything.
I feel that too. I have that same feeling about myself.
Yeah.
I feel that all the time. Would that I were a workaholic.
But then, it's not good to be a workaholic.
No, it's like all these people who are workaholics, they produce so many things and they're prolific, but it's not good.
But like, you can be prolific and not necessarily be a workaholic.
Right.
I'm not prolific or a workaholic, but like, I also don't think in terms of writing. I think people say that they work a lot more than they do. I think people are like, I can't, I'm writing tomorrow. It's like, you're writing for a half an hour and like jerking off the rest of the time.
It is why I do think about workaholics a lot, because my writing process is like, I sit down and I fuck, like everybody, mm-hmm. I fuck around for like an unbelievable amount of time.
Right.
And then I panic and then I start writing and then I get going. I wonder if what it means to be a workaholic, these people whose schedules are so insane that you kind of can't believe it, if what they do is they just sit down, open final draft, and immediately begin writing. Because the truth is, like, when I write, I don't write for content first. I mm-hmm. write... I just keep writing until I'm done, and then I go back and see what's good or what isn't. So the thing that holds me back is the first word.
Everybody.
Right. Do the workaholics just not have that part? And they open up and they go, interior, Leslie's house. She's exercising on a treadmill and running while eating caramels. Immediately.
I think workaholics probably don't produce a lot of the work that we love and see prolifically. Like, I genuinely think that. I think people who use work as a way to not feel their feelings
yeah.
are not making the best work. Who can we use as an example who's very prolific and whose work we really like? like Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, Stephen King.
Ugh. Our totally. Boy. Stephen King is our boy.
Yep, that's our boy right there. That's our straight up homie. Something's wrong with him. I would ask Stephen King.
He's such an anomaly, dude.
I would ask Stephen King if I could just have lunch with him?
Hmm.
I'd say, where do you come up with this stuff? You know what I mean?
That's a great question.
Right? Did
you start watching The Outsider?
Yes, I did start
watching.
I haven't started it yet.
Say nothing. I read it. Did you?
Yeah, I read it. And it's what you think it is. It's The Outsider. It's good, though.
I mean, I don't know. For all I know, he does have a great relationship with his kid who he writes books with.
Right.
Maybe not so much with his wife, but he talks about her a lot. Like, I really don't know. He is an anomaly. When Stephen King isn't writing his own books, he's writing under a pen name and blurbs for other people's books.
No, there's something wrong with him. No doubt about it.
Maybe they also write a lot of stuff that we don't see that's really bad. Or maybe they're really good at keeping a schedule. That's something that I'm not good at.
Right. I'm like you. I think we're the same, actually.
I think we are. I think that we're twins
twin
separated
powers.
At birth.
We're siblings.
We are.
We are siblings.
I mean, we are related.
We are related.
Literally.
Literally?
We're part of the same tribe.
Oh, we're Jews.
Yeah. Like, we have we done 23andMe matches?
Oh, like we might be distant cousins?
Probably are.
Listen,
whatever.
Can
who cares?
I say one
we
last
We have to
thing?
Talk about vaping.
Okay, let's
and
talk
also
about
I need to ask you about what's your outfit when you go camping.
Okay. Yeah, well.
Moshe's really into fashion, by the way.
I am. I dress really well. And
we've been shopping together. I can't say that about many friends.
My outfit when I go camping, it's something similar to you know what I'm very grateful for? I'll tell you what I'm grateful for.
Okay.
Is that in the last 5 years, fashion has switched, male fashion specifically, but actually female fashion too, but I don't dress in female fashions because I believe that gender is a hard binary with a line between it and no one should ever step over that line ever. Even slightly feminine clothing is wrong on men. That's my primary philosophy. But no, is that comfort has come in to fashion.
No, I'm wearing sweatpants right now.
I spent a decade in structured
hard denim.
Hard jeans where I was chafing and going it's worth it.
It's worth it.
I'm just grateful now that the stuff I have is comfortable. So I often wear that when I camp, and I'll wear a flannel. But you know the primary, I'll wear flannels or
You get into it a little bit? You get into character a little?
No, I mean a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But it's still the stuff from my closet. I don't have the camping section of my closet.
Right.
But I wear flannels. And the biggest lesson about camping fashion is less is more. You're going to wear the same outfit for 3 or 4 days in a row. Bring a lot of underwear. Bring few pants and few clothes. And bring warmth.
I like that. And your wetsuit, any splashy designs?
No, they don't really do splashy designs anymore, which is kind of frustrating because surf fashion is really cool. Like the regular clothing, the clothing companies, they have cool fashion, especially now it's become
OP.
Like OP, got your Rip Curl. No, but what I mean is there's a lot of new hipster surf brands, Surf Saturdays, and there's Almond, and there's, Mollusk is a local company. And it blows my mind that as surf fashion has become more and more sophisticated, the wetsuit has gone the opposite direction. In the 80s, wetsuits were super awesome. You want to hear a crazy story? I think you might have heard the story before about wetsuits.
Okay.
When I was young, and this was in the era of the cool, wild wetsuit, the body glove, neon wetsuit.
Right, yeah.
When I was young, it was my birthday, and my grandma asked me what I wanted, and inexplicably, for no reason, I said I wanted a wetsuit.
I remember this story, but you should tell.
It's a brutal
one. We don't have to talk about vaping. It's fine. I'm just upset that you left us.
I quit vaping. I'm on nicotine gum. I don't know. I'm just scared. I don't want to die, and I don't know if it'll
kill you.
You're
going to die.
I don't
want to
die early.
Everybody's dying.
I don't want to die early. I want to live a long, healthy life.
All right. Well,
I don't know that you're not going to. Dude, do you know how fucking pissed off I'll be if in 40 years the results come in and they're like, actually, vaping was super safe this whole time and I spent 30 years not vaping? I'll be fucking pissed. Vaping's the best. Smoking's the best.
I know.
But I don't want to die with respiratory issues. Anyway.
More of a man than I am, I'll say that.
I just started having a cough and I just.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I was scared. Anyway,
okay, that's fine. Maybe you'll come back to us. But
maybe I'll relapse. Hopefully.
But, so tell the wetsuit story because I love it.
So I asked my grandma to buy me a wetsuit, and she did. I don't know why I wanted it. I only swam in pools. But she got me one, and it was like a quarter length suit. So it was shorts and short sleeves, and it was neon and patterned. And I
what
was
color
like,
neon?
It was like pink neon on one panel and like yellow on another. And I was so it was remember the era of like day glow.
Oh yeah.
And I was so proud of it. I just felt like so awesome in it, like cock of the walk. And I like I was in my grandma's apartment, and I pulled it on. And I zipped it up, and I was like walking down all to her pool. You don't need a wetsuit to swim in a pool. A wetsuit is for really cold water. It's to keep you warm. And I like strut down to the apartment complex swimming pool, and I'm like doo doo doo. I'm like 9 years old, and I get down there, and there are these two like hot. Like 13-year-old girls, like, you know, middle school girls. And I'm like, oh, yeah, check out my cool suit. And I'm like walking in, and I get right to the edge of the pool, and I jump in, and they're staring at me, and I'm like, they know what's up. And I jump into the pool like super dramatically, and as I'm about to like submerge, I'm in the air, I hear the girls just begin to laugh hysterically at me, just like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm underwater, and I'm trying to stay underwater. Like, I don't want to come back up because I know that those girls just laughed at me. And I know you have that when you were young. You walk out, and you're like, I look so cool. And then immediately something happens. You go, I am not cool. And I'm like, I'm trying to tread water in the opposite direction to stay underwater. And finally, I can't hold my breath anymore, and I just pop up. Get out of the pool, grab my towel, and walk back to my grandma's house.
So cute.
But now I wear a wetsuit for real. And they're not cool looking. They're all black.
Mm.
They're all black, and I don't know why they're not cool.
Mm.
But I have an awesome one. It's not made of neoprene. It's made of Ulex.
Why? Ulex. Neoprene seems
bad for the environment.
Oh, it is?
And I have a Patagonia wetsuit that is like apparently the best, environmentally best wetsuit that's ever been made.
Wow. And brag much?
Yeah, brag now.
Okay, well, we're done.
Was it chaos or was it clear?
It was the best. It was my favorite one.
The favorite episode you've ever done, right?
I mean, it was really good.
Okay, can I say one more thing about exercise before we go?
Yeah.
They say that doing cardio exercise three times a week for 20 minutes has the same antidepressive effects as taking a low-dose SSRI.
Yeah, well, it's like I taking take medication. The SSRI. That's what you can Dax do both. Says. He's like, you don't need an antidepressant if you just work out.
I don't. That wasn't what I was saying. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm just a man that likes to exercise. So anyway.
Maybe I'll start doing more calisthenics. Yeah. What is that?
The whole thing Stretching? About exercise...
Walks.
The whole thing about exercise is finding the thing that works for what you need. For me, I need to be distracted from because it's torture to me. So yoga is the opposite of what I like to do because it's like, get into this.
Yeah.
Be in this. I like distraction, boxing, surfing. I like to be like not quite hiking. There's beauty everywhere. I'm punching someone. I got to get on this wave. And then I wake up an hour later and go, I just exercised.
I got to think about what mine is for that. Okay.
Maybe yours is reading.
I love reading. It's painting.
Painting is your exercise. Painting is your exercise.
Give this kid a mic.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Cameo.
I'm in.
How are you not wanting to be on Cameo?
It just feels a little corny. Corneo.
I think it's going to be the next hot new trend.
I love it.
Okay, we're done. Amanda's like already packed up. She's out the door. Okay, thank you.
Want to talk to Leslie about your hobbies? Call our toll-free hotline at 844-370-VOID. That's 844-370-VOID. Rate and review Filling the Void on Apple Podcasts. Filling the Void is an Erios original with editing by Tracy Levy and original score by Michael Cassidy.
Erios.
Powered by ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.